Hello, welcome to Telling Tinder Tales, the show about confessing our interesting dating stories with me, Chris O'Neill.
And me, Thomason Lockwood, as we bring together comedians from all over the world to tell their Tinder tales.
Coming up on today's show.
We had nothing at all in common, apart from wanting to get our rocks off.
Gosh, because that's really hard for me to hear. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can imagine how it was for me to hear.
To be fair, she barely had a roof over her head, so, like, she wasn't, you know what I mean?
Thomason, how did we first meet in Tinder Tales terms?
I first met you, Chris, at Edinburgh Fringe in 2020. The pandemic had just happened, so Edinburgh Fringe was weirdly quite empty. And my friends dragged me to watch a free improv comedy game show where you were one of the contestants, and I, as an audience member, got dragged up onto the stage to do some improv games with you, which in hindsight were more like torture games, because I remember there was like holding candle flames to people's hands, and if they failed the tasks, then they would get burnt. And that was, and I mean, I didn't know what I was showing up to, but that's how I met you. And I remember telling you that I was really interested in applying to the Free Fringe. And somehow you managed to wrangle me to get a stand-up spot, a 15-minute set, without me knowing anyone. And I think that nobody had any faith in me except you, Chris, because I distinctly remember Peter Buckley Hill saying before I went on, this is how much faith he had in me. He went, if they start booing you, just walk off stage. You invited me to come co-host Tinder Tales with you. And the rest was history.
Rest is history. That's the name of another podcast. Let's not give them any plugs.
Okay.
So I think we'd probably go to our first guest. I think you might recognize this guest from candle-related activity.
No.
Actually. Because I think Alex Leem, who's our first guest, who's going to tell us where he's joining from, was the person running that show.
I'm shook.
As luck would have it, yes. Because there is no other show which involves actual physical torture that does improv. So my name is Alex Leem. I'm calling from Derbyshire, UK. And yes, the show that Thomason was nicely describing, I'm thinking any minute now she's going to go, that was a load of crap. Oh, terrible. No.
Alex, have you a story that actually relates to dating?
My story. So I like to think of myself as an internet dating pioneer. And the website of choice, this was even like before social media, so it was Face Party. I don't know if anyone else remembers Face Party. So Face Party predates like Facebook, so it was used as like Facebook. But it was British-owned Face Party as well. It was weird. But it was also a bit of a den of iniquity. It was also kind of used for hookups. I knew this, and I went in willingly. I was dipping my toe in because I'd come out of a relationship that I'd been in, and I'd been through the most sort of like desperate dry spell for a while. I mean, I wouldn't say I was desperate, but I was circling. In that sort of vicinity. So I got a date with somebody who lived in Loughborough. So I'm in Derbyshire. So Loughborough's a neighbouring county. So not a million miles away, but a bit of a trek. So the date went okay. I could handle a lot more alcohol back then. So it got quite boozy. And one thing led to another. And it ended up in a one-night stand in a hotel room. It was a very nice evening. It was great. But me thinking, oh, well, that's probably it now if that's all that she was really after. I then get a text message from this woman the following week saying, how serious are you about us? Not, do you want a second date or anything? No. It was, how serious are you about us? So me being kind of desperate thinking, well, once wasn't enough. That was quite a dry spell. I would like to do that again. I'm not proud. That's what I was thinking at the time. I was in my early 20s. I said, oh, well, yeah, but fairly serious. She went, good, because the councillor's sorting me out a flat in Derby. She decided after one date to move counties to be closer to me without telling me first. Now, you would think this would be the mother of all red flags, wouldn't you? You would think, oh, Alex, run a mile. something is really wrong here. But no, we carried on dating for the next 6 months, even though we had nothing at all in common, apart from wanting to get our rocks off. That was it. That was it. It was the worst sham of a relationship ever. And when it ended, she used the moving part against me, just going, "I moved counties for you. I didn't ask you to." So yeah, so that was my sham 6 month of a relationship that came out of Face Party. It's probably a good thing that website's not going anymore.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you very much. That was, wow, what a roller coaster. 6 months.
It certainly was. 6 months, yeah.
So it's so funny. Like, I'm such a girl's girl in that, like, I'm immediately like, I feel like I want to take her side. Is that bad? Like, I'm like, you did lead her on. How dare you? No, my question is, so a sham of a relationship that was for 6 months. What, besides the obvious, what did you do when you would hang out together? What did you talk about?
I remember that, and I wasn't pleased about this. She introduced me to a lot of Adam Sandler films.
Oh,
she really loved Adam Sandler. So we went to the cinema to see 50 First Dates, which in my opinion is the cream of Adam Sandler
films. It's the best one.
It, by far and away. There's a lot in that film that's problematic in the modern era, certainly, but it's still the best one. If you cut out all the problematic bits, it'll probably only last half an hour.
Did she ever turn to you like, "You're my Adam Sandler"?
Oh, that just gave me the ick. Oh, I just got the shivers when you said that. That's like,
was that she was living a rom-com with you?
Sort of. I think the only thing other than the physical that we had in common was a love of vodka. That was about it. Yeah,
it's all making sense now. Listen, I would love to open up our questions to our other two guests who are here. We have Heidi and Rabia with us. We'll get to their story shortly. So, Rabia, any questions?
I don't know. I'm trying to formulate this into a question, not a judgment. But but if you were that great after one date that a woman moved county for you, couldn't you have just gone back on a Face Party and dump the other one? I don't know. I mean, I'm not on her side, honestly, because
no.
I won't add someone on social media without permission, and she's like moving county. That's wild to me.
Well, I get the feeling that thanks to like 2 decades of social media happening, we're all a little bit more savvy now. I think it's still the case that I don't really think outside the box too much. I just can sort of like see what's there at the end of my nose, and that is about it. I probably shouldn't mime stuff physically for an audio podcast. I should actually say out loud at the end of my nose. So there was a lot that I regret and would not like to repeat about that relationship. And yeah, there was a lot. I think, oh, you're a bad man.
Heidi, have you any questions?
I do. I am wondering, back all those years ago, how quickly did she manage to move counties? Because clearly there wasn't any sort of council housing crisis that, you know, within sort of 24 hours she was able to say, you know what, council are hooking me up with a council house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it astonished me. I think she sort of played the system a little bit. I think I was 22 and she was 19. So sort of like, I'm a late teens and I don't get on with my mum and stepdad. That was the card that she played to get a room in a house share. There was a lot of deceit and wrong things about this. A lot.
You know what I will say though, as a former 19-year-old girl myself. All 19-year-old girls are crazy. They are. They're like the suspicions are correct. 19-year-old girls, we're all fucking crazy. Like, I really, and also like the fact that you were 22, like, it just really contextualizes the story as to why you both made such strange choices. But I like, Heidi, that's such a great point. I love this idea that Derbyshire is so like desperate to like grow their population. They're like, yeah, come, like, it's great, like, you're 19 and you want to, like, you've been on one date with this guy, great, love it for you.
Well, I think Derby finished like bottom of the list of UK cities to visit, so that wouldn't surprise me.
And Chris, have you got any questions?
I suppose my question is, once the relationship ended, did she stay in Derby?
From what I can gather, no. I think I also pioneered social media stalking, as well as dating. So I did check her profile a few times afterwards, and she set her location back to Loughborough. So,
okay, fine.
Much better.
Very good. Alex, that was fascinating, if worrying.
My work here is done.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And what a surprise. What a wonderful surprise to meet our candlestick maker himself from our dear old improvised games.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. I think we're going to move on now next to Rabia. Are you ready? Please tell us where you're calling in from. Tell us about yourself. And then when you're ready, we cannot wait to hear your Tinder tale.
All right, cool. Yeah, so I'm Rabia. I am actually calling in from near Los Angeles, California. I live in London and was up in Edinburgh. That's where I met Chris previously. And I'm just taking vacation, visiting family. It was about a year ago, I started seeing someone in London. I take profiles very seriously. So I look for things like if they're apolitical, I think it means something like right wing. And I don't, I just swipe no on it. If they say they want kids, I know that's not going to be with me. So because I know how old I am and I know that I'm not having kids. If they have kids, I'm cool with it because I like kids, but not going to have them. So I try to be really serious at the start. So this guy didn't want kids. He was liberal. I thought we were on the right track so far. I meet him. We go out one time. We have a lot of fun. We go to a pub. We end up going to dinner, going to another pub. So it was kind of like this rolling date. And then it didn't end in a one-night stand or anything. But it was like we could have probably kept going and decided because he was older. He had good judgment. I didn't. He did. So that was great. Everything was going well. Second date, he tells me about his ex who was really into the monarchy and that he went and stood in line when the queen died, which is fine, but he was doing it to be a good boyfriend. But then as he went on, he kept saying things that made me think that he actually wanted to do that. And again, he could do that. I waited in line to see Elton John, you know, many times, and I consider that, you know, so I've done it. but anyway, he went on about things, and then he started to say things that made me think we weren't very compatible, but I was like, well, let me not judge him. And we went to dinner. So we ended up going to dinner and I have to eat gluten-free because I have celiac, right? And so I was ordering my food and he started inquiring why I'm not ordering gluten. I said, because I have celiac. And I don't really want to keep going about my medical history. Finally, he pushes me on so many things. I finally revealed to him that I have multiple sclerosis. This is something I'm not ashamed of, but it's a fact about me. I don't really think it is something I would tell someone on a second date because I'm more interesting than that. Like, I have other things I can tell you about. Like, of course, I mentioned that I've, you know, that I do comedy and have a podcast within 2 minutes of meeting someone. I'm not going to go into my medical stuff. So I tell him this. So then he goes, oh, gosh. He goes, that's really hard for me to hear. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can imagine how it was for me to hear, you know, when the doctor told me. So I just sat there and go, yeah, I'm really sorry. I go, you just didn't like listen to me when I said I didn't want to talk about it. So we go out again. So he comes to the date and I'm thinking this is the last date, but whatever. Like, so we meet up and he goes, so I need to talk to you about something. He's like, I did research and I don't think like we should have kids. And I was like, all right. Like what? I was like, oh, okay. And I thought, well, I didn't think we should either, but and he goes, yeah, you really shouldn't at all. And I said, okay. And I just sat there kind of stunned. And I was like, and he goes, but I did all this research. And he started reading facts to me about something I've had for 20 years. And I finally just said, I said, well, you don't appear to be incredibly healthy yourself. So I think you should reconsider it too. Because I'm sure your blood work doesn't come back like 100%. And that ended the date. But I felt good about like, you know, like this side of dating that like people have to deal with too. It's kind of weird. But anyway, that's my Tinder tale.
Bit of background. First of all, well done. My mother had multiple sclerosis, so I'm very aware of the disease.
Oh.
And I've never encountered anyone who read me details having done research. No, never. No, that was positively weird. You didn't dodge a bullet. You dodged an entire artillery feud, whatever the right phrase is there. So my question is this. When you went for dinner and you didn't eat dairy and you didn't eat gluten, what did you have for dinner?
Oh, we were at an Indian place. So I actually ordered, it was lamb. It wasn't the vindaloo, but it was something similar. They have a different dish. But yeah, I mean, it has, you know, has lamb and spices. And that's probably one reason I didn't do an one night stand. But yeah, you know, it's fine.
That's a good barrier to put in place. We're going for an Indian.
Yeah, but I want it spicy.
Yeah. Alex, I believe, has a question.
Hello, Alex Lean, internet dating pioneer.
Hi, Alex.
I mean, if you've still got his number, I've got bipolar disorder, so I'd like to know his insights.
I'm with you on that too, yeah. Alex. So if we meet on the right day, we can be friends, but other days.
Oh, excellent. Okay, I'll bring the diazepam.
I'll bring the vindaloo.
It'll be cool.
I'm just wondering, on a scale of one to absolutely not, is it worse that he was a eugenicist or a monarchist?
Oh. I mean, the two are not unconnected.
No, they're not. No, so I mean, I am from the US. So we actually, until I moved to England, I moved like 4 years ago. I didn't know like the whole perspective on the monarchy, right? So I don't know. I watched The Crown. I thought I knew everything, you know? I was like, oh man, I got this down. And so I don't know, probably the former, honestly, just because, I mean, the monarchy thing, it was just a weird thing just because I've met enough people to know like what that generally entails about your politics.
Did he have any opinions on Meghan Markle? Because
actually, yeah, he didn't like her. Yeah, he made some comments about Harry at one point, and I'm like, and then I was just like, I tried not to speak about it just because I think I like him. I don't know. So, you know.
I just find that is a bit of a red flag if a man has opinions on Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
Because there only seems to be, the only other person on that list is Piers Morgan.
Yeah, it's a lonely list.
Yeah.
Right. So the next person who has already contributed, of course, but who will now contribute more is Heidi. Heidi, what's your story? Where are you from? Bit of background and let us know your stuff.
Okay, well, my name is Heidi Stemp, and I am living in the wilds of Sligo here in Ireland. And I was on the dating apps, and my dating app of choice was Plenty of Fish. Not because I thought it was a brilliant dating app, but Sligo is a very, very small well, I was going to say city in Sligo, but the dating circle here in Sligo is very small. And then when you take in the lesbian aspect, it is microscopic. So there was nothing on any of the other dating apps. So I had a couple of options on Plenty of Fish, so I sort of stayed there. And I met a woman on the site, and we exchanged a couple of pictures, and we'd chat, and we'd send messages on the app, and we never spoke on the phone, and we never met up because she was a whole county away. So it was just no. But she decided one day, she suggested, look, do you want to come and stay over at mine for the weekend? So I thought, okay, this was maybe about 2 months into chatting. And I said, yeah, perfect. So I put my dog in the vets for the weekend. And I said I had a business meeting. So dog goes to the vets, bye-bye Pippin, and I get in my car. And now this is again before postcodes or air codes here in Ireland. So the directions she gave me was head down this road, take a left, and just keep going. Okay? So I go down this road and I take the left and I end up literally in the bog. So for you people in England, it'd be like the moors, you know, think Peter Sutcliffe type thing. And I was there driving just on the top of this bog and there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. And I thought, if you're gonna meet a serial killer, this is where they're gonna live. Like, this is just, I've seen too many horror films where this is how it starts. And there was a moment I thought, Heidi, really, this is not a good idea. And then, then my hormones took over and I thought, well, if I'm going to die, I might as well do it this way, you know. So anyway, I keep going and I get to this. Cottage is putting it politely. It was more like a hovel.
Oh.
Okay. So I pull up and I get out of the car and she's standing in the doorway of this rural cottage. And you know, I go in for the hug. She's like, whoa.
Oh my god.
But I thought, it's okay, you know, maybe she's just a bit shy. So I have my little overnight bag and I walk in and it was not fit for human habitation. It really wasn't. There was there was no heating. There was no bed. Okay, so what she was sleeping on was this camp bed, but it was a camp bed that had seen, it had seen better generations, to be fair, not just days. And I was there going, because I'm not a small person, to be fair, and I was there thinking, if I even sit on that bed, there's going to be nothing left of it. So I'm looking around going, where the heck, where does she expect me to sleep? Do you know what I mean? So anyway, she had no food in the house. Okay, she had no food. She had no tea or coffee. She had no nothing. There was no door on the toilet, which made it really, really awkward when I had to pee. Because there was, you know, you're trying to hold a conversation while sort of drowning out the sound of the floor. But anyway, I was, honestly, I was still hopeful. Like, I was still hopeful, okay? So we're sitting there, and I'm sitting one side of the room. Now, I say room. It was a hovel, so it was maybe 10 foot wide. I'm sitting one side of the room. She deliberately chooses the chair that's the other side of the room. So we're not even sitting side by side. She puts on a film on her laptop and she puts on Baby Driver. Like, I'm never, ever going to be able to watch the film again. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this film and this woman is the other side of the room watching it. There's no conversation. There's no nothing. And I'm just going, right, okay, okay. So I had brought a box of Heroes with me because, you know, lesbians don't do flowers. You know, we're very practical people. So I brought the Heroes and I gave them to her and she opens them up and she goes, would you like one? And I'm like, not really. And I swear to God, within about 20 minutes, she had savaged the whole box. Okay. Yeah, she was just mom, 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 mom. I mean, she, like, the poor woman had no food in the house and she probably didn't have a cooker. So do you know what I mean? This was the first food she'd seen in days. You know what I mean? So she eats the whole box of Heroes. And I'm thinking, this is not how the romantic films go. You know, this isn't. But anyway, Baby Driver finishes and she goes, oh, do you want to watch another film? And I thought, okay, all right. I came prepared, okay? I brought the lesbian, like, Kama Sutra, right? I brought Bound. You know the Wachowski film with Jennifer Tilly and Gina Gershon?
Oh.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I came prepared.
For any listeners who don't know what that film is, can you just give a brief summary?
Okay. So for any listeners who haven't...
And I mean brief.
A brief. Okay. So straight woman, lesbian, meet and have sex.
Perfect.
Basically.
Nailed it.
And they have sex within, I think it's about 13 minutes of the film starting.
Oh, you've timed it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I put the film on and we get to the sex scene and there's nothing. She's cold. I was trying to figure out how I was going to make a swift exit because it was just not happening. And the moment I sort of really thought this is gone was this, like, feral cat walks in the door and starts to, and I swear to God, I'm not even making this up, starts to throw up on the floor. Oh. And it's going, all right. And I'm going, what the fuck is this? And the one I went to see said, she said, oh my God, she said, that must be the sour sausages that I fed the cat. I just said, do you know what? I gotta go.
A few thoughts before I turn it over. First of all, I just want to say I have loved the throwbacks to our like millennial / Gen X experience of like face party, Plenty of Fish. And it makes me think we have lost our way with dating branding because Plenty of Fish sounds so much more hopeful compared to like, I don't know, Bumble. You know, I'm just going to bumble my way through this and I just hope I'm a worm. I don't know. Or like Hinge, like everything's hinging on this date. Like there's just... I think that's it is what it is, yeah. But even with that, Plenty of Fish is like it does not suit the vibe of this story. Like I say this, I have also dated someone who didn't have a door on their bathroom either. Like if we had a nickel for every person who's dated someone in this podcast today who didn't have a door in their bathroom, we'd have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that happened twice, huh? But his excuse was that he lived on a houseboat, which, sure. What was her excuse for not having a bathroom door?
To be fair, she barely had a roof over her head, so, like, she oh wasn't, do you know what I mean? This, I honestly cannot emphasize to you how shitty this place was. Like it was four stone walls with a roof. That was it. It was
my goodness.
So the fact that she had no bathroom door was really the least of her worries.
Okay, lovely. Well, I would love to open it up.
I have one question. What breed is the dog?
My dog is a Shih Tzu called Pippin.
Rabia, have you any questions for Heidi?
Yeah. Yes, I do. First of all, I'm glad you made it out of the bug. But secondly, did you ever like speak again, like, or chat on the thing, or how'd that go? Because I'm one of those people who will still like try to close things up nicely when it's so stupid.
Okay. So after I checked the watch and went, oh my God, I got to go pick up my dog. I mean, I literally drove back and thought, oh, let's wait for a call for her message. And the next morning she texted me and she said, yeah, I don't think we should talk anymore because, and her words were, because you were much larger than I expected.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And that was it. And I thought, Okay.
Heroes. Jesus.
Well, okay. Actually, it was the house that was too small. So.
I mean, yeah.
And she stuffed her face with the heroes. Gosh. Alex, did we, I don't know if you had any questions that you would like to ask Heidi?
Yes, sorry, my internet completely went out then. I wasn't looking at where he could stream bound. Honest. Sadly, I missed the last bit of the story, but I'll listen to the podcast and it'll be a whole new experience then for me. So I can catch up at a later time. My only question that came to me is, if lesbians did do flowers, what type would you give?
Cactus.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
I was going to ask, are the Moors as sexy as they seem when they're written about in, like, Wuthering Heights? Like, did that put you in the mood?
No. Absolutely not. But then again, I mean, full disclosure, I'm not, you know, I had to study Charlotte Bronte's Emma for my leaving cert, so your A levels, and I absolutely detested it. So, you know, it,
I was going to say, you probably didn't do very good in the exam because Emma was written by Jane Austen.
Well, we're renaming the podcast Pedantry Made Real.
Maybe that's why. I'm a petty woman.
Fair is fair, and I would do exactly the same thing. So, yeah. And actually, I never even finished the book, so there you go.
You shouldn't even finish the cover.
No.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Over to you, Chris.
I think we've come to the end because we've got some tremendous stories and real fun. Thank you all very much for coming. It's been delightful and not a little surprising.
Very quickly, if anyone would like to do a shout out of where we can listen to your podcasts, I'll start with you, Rabia.
Sure. Yeah. So my podcast is called More Than Work. It's not a comedy podcast necessarily, but it's fun. And so it's at More Than Work Pod are the handles for that. And then my comedy is at Rabia Comedy. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Alex?
So I've got a podcast, which you can see the streaming version on my YouTube channel. So if you search for Alex Lame, it's called Awkward Question Time. And I also have a book out, science fiction comedy called The First Man to Time Travel. Available also as an audiobook. So if you've got Audible or Spotify Premium.
Excellent. That's about Alex Leam, L-E-A-M, just if anyone needs
10
to
points.
Clarifying. Thank you. And Heidi?
Yeah, I do a podcast with two of my fellow comedians called This Is Not a Joke podcast. And you can find me on Instagram under Heidi Stemp Comedy. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. It really is the case that everybody now has a podcast. Yeah. Very good. So, thank you very much. We've come to the end. It's been tremendous. Thomason, have you anything to say before we wrap up?
No, just thank you very much for listening. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you to all our guests. It's been tremendous. We'll put some details of contacts in the show notes, and people can look it up there. We will be doing live shows. One of them will be in Derby. I believe Alex is going to run a festival in Derby called Ram Comedy Festival, and I'm hoping to be there. We'll also be in Glasgow, probably Buxton, and, of course, Edinburgh, and probably Nottingham as well. So all over the place. One of the reasons we're doing this podcast is we hope to tour the show. So if you like this podcast, which I think was very funny, though I say it myself, and surprising, please do tell somebody. Tell somebody that you have dated. Tell somebody that you are dating, or tell someone you want to date. It really covers all the options, and you can chat about it and whatever. Thomason, you have something else to say.
If, like me, you are chronically online and have no one to tell in real life, please do leave us a review. It will really mean a lot, especially as a new podcast. If you give us 5 stars, we will love you. If you give us anything lower, Alex will come and put some candles underneath your hands.
Don't think I won't.
Nothing like ending a podcast on a threat, I say. Yes. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Telling Tinder Tales is hosted and produced by me, Chris O'Neill, and Thomason Lockwood. Produced and edited by Lucy Regan, with music by Kinkas Morera. It's a Jester's Comedy Dublin production and is no way affiliated with or endorsed by Tinder. If you have a story to tell, please get in touch. Details are in the show notes. And if you like this, instead of swiping right, follow us on Instagram and or TikTok at Telling Tinder Tales.